This is the Jeff Budke Podcast, covering your Northwest teams and sports around the Western Hemisphere.
Classic move. How can I really screw the Clippers before I leave? I'm going to give Del Negro an extension.
Oh, this is good. This is good podcasting.
Was picture perfect.
I'm leaving that in there. I'm not cutting that out.
Should I just keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
I won the PBR challenge for us, remember?
I do remember that. You beat the pregnant woman.
But, I mean, how else can we replace Prince Billa?
Kirk Heinrich's back.
Oh, they got the teen kid from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't we reading Nate Robinson out loud?
Welcome to the pod. My name is Jeff Budke, alongside producer Ben.
How's it going, everyone?
Ben, it's great to have you back.
It has been a long time.
It was April. April 1, we did a baseball preview. And yep. that was the last time you were on the show.
Real life happens. It gets in the way.
You know,
of all the real important stuff like this.
I don't want to, but I'm going to blame your wife.
That's fair. We've blamed her before in other podcasts, so I guess there's
we'll just keep the trend going.
Yeah, no need to stop it now.
It is good to have you. We're here talking MLS playoffs today, maybe a little bit broader, just in the soccer world. This is your wheelhouse, and I'm glad to have you on. I do want to start with, I don't know how recent this was. I think it was a couple days ago. NBC just signed up for it was a three-year deal with the EPL, the English Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
What is this going to do in America? How is this going to affect? The EPL is going to be off Fox Soccer Channel, or it's going to be easier to watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because previously it was on several different stations, so you had ESPN covering mm-hmm. games, as well as Fox Soccer. Fox Soccer was kind of their bread and butter. They did most of the games. So then ESPN picked up a deal recently where they had about one game a week on. Normally the...
This is the game of the week.
Yeah, they had the Monday game, and then they also had the early Saturday game. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting now that it's all on NBC. I'm rather excited, though, because NBC has also said that they're going to make it available for a person to watch every single game if they want to, and I'm not sure what that is going to look like, whether it's an online service.
That sounds amazing. Or,
yeah, exactly. And so I'm really excited to see how they move and shift to this online, an online platform. Because right now, I don't want to pay $100 just to get some premium package because all I want to watch is soccer. But I would be interested if I could just pay strictly for an online service, maybe, I don't know, $10, $15 a month just to get every single game.
If you think about like the NBA League Pass or like DirecTV mm-hmm. Sunday Ticket with football, it's so easy to watch those games. And in most cases, like with MLB.TV, if I miss a game and I really want to watch it, I can go back and watch the replay. Right now, I don't feel like, besides the ESPN games, the one a week, I don't have a chance to watch it later when I actually wake up on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really excited to see what they do on their other platforms, and I'm also excited to see what their coverage is like. I know they signed up for not only the games, but they're promising to do like a highlight show and a pre- and post-match gig. So it'll be really exciting to see what they've done. And they've done an amazing job with the MLS games that they've gotten. So I only see great things coming.
And I believe NBC Sports is trying to pick up as a legit competition to ESPN. I think they're going to make a push for baseball. This push in the EPL, if they go a little bit different route, they're gonna get a lot of people. ESPN will have basketball and football still. But this country's getting a little bit more broad in their knowledge.
And TV deals are just going nuts. Like, you're seeing some of the stuff for baseball, and baseball's a fringe sport, and I don't see it as getting any bigger. I see it as getting smaller, if anything, and the money that baseball TV deals will grow for is nuts. So
it
I imagine
for Albert Pujols to go to the Angels.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's crazy.
So if they can get in at the bottom of the ladder with soccer, I think they see a lot of potential there. So.
And a little exciting for the West Coast guys. Arlo White might be moving up. John Strong from the Timbers and the Sounders, respectively. It'd be cool to see them doing some national stuff. It'd be fun.
I'm a huge fan of Arlo, as we've talked about before. So
the only Sounder I've ever loved.
There you go.
And now we're going to move into the MLS playoffs. A little bit more finite. You know, MLS is probably the second best league in the world. Oh, sorry. That was a bit of a stretch. But
just behind Spain. Yeah.
They're supposed to have a laugh track later. The MLS playoffs, they have the one-game playoff. Yesterday we saw, and maybe 2 days ago when you hear this, Houston beat Chicago. Mm-hmm. And tonight Vancouver's playing LA. And then there he goes into a two-leg first round.
Mm-hmm.
What are the advantages, disadvantage of this two-leg? Is that the best way to do it? What's your opinion on this?
I mean, ideally, I'm a stats guy, and I'm a fan of finding out who the best team is. So for me, I'd personally love a single table, like most of the European leagues do, but I understand that's...
Without playoffs.
Correct. I understand that's not how they're going to do it here in the U.S., and so I've come to embrace that. But if we're going to have a playoff system, I would like home and away leg, because then you at least get some semblance of... you know, each team gets their own advantage playing home and away. Two games tend to even out the odds as far as good teams generally beat the teams that aren't as good.
Are you okay with the first play-in game, like the kickoff weekend?
I mean, if I feel like there's too many teams going. I feel like it cheapens the regular
10
season.
10 of the 19
yeah, exactly.
teams get
I'd rather not have that play-in game. But at the same time, I think, I guess Dominic Kinnear tries to have his way because it seems like Houston's never a very good team, but they always do well in the playoffs. But generally, I think the best team wins.
And as far as, and then the next two rounds are double-legged, and then the championship is not.
Correct.
Which throws me, but that's what the Champions League is. Maybe this is me just, you know, just getting started.
It'd be a bit anticlimactic if you had some final that was played in two different locations. And let's be honest, you know, if it's the championship, if it's deciding the whole thing, you just want it in one game. I think it builds the excitement a little bit more. So I'm okay with that being one game. And that is, it's kind of like the format of the Champions League, really, where it's two legs for every round up until the final.
All right, so let's get into the matchups. We got four matchups this weekend for the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
One more complaint before we move on, because I want to hear, I want to know, I want to learn, and I think a lot of our listeners do as well. So RSL is playing in Seattle this weekend.
Correct.
And then next week, is it Wednesday? They'll be playing...
It's the 8th, and I am blanking on that. It could be a Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday next week?
It's a Thursday.
They'll play at RSL.
Correct.
Now, with the way this funky new MLS is... This will be the fourth and fifth times they played this year.
Correct.
That seems far and away too many games to play against one team. They already hate each other.
Yeah, but I guess if you look over in Spain and you have Real Madrid and Barcelona playing four times, I guess it technically could be five, depending on how the Champions League
plays
out.
Do they play in La Liga four times?
They play La Liga twice, and then possibly a Champions League matchup, and they have... Copa del Rey, so they have the domestic cups, so it's not uncommon.
But those are different tournaments to me.
Correct.
Like, very different
yes.
tournaments.
Yes.
And then, but MLS, this is three regular season and two postseason against the same team. Is it overkill?
It is overkill, but it's not going to change until we get that 20th team into the league, and I hope when we do get that 20th team in the league, we'll go back to balanced schedule, so you play everybody twice, and then you don't have to worry about any of this playoff weirdness where
and the supporter shield means so much more.
Exactly, because right now it doesn't really mean anything.
We don't know if San Jose, we think San Jose was the best, but maybe they were able to, you know, maybe the Western Conference is weaker. It's just kind of a toss-up from there because everyone from the West only played the East once and East played once.
It's not a true champion. It does give the Champions League spot, so it is very important. But and it'd be something I'd love to win as a fan and a supporter of a club. I'd love to win it. But
what would you rather win, the MLS Cup or the Supporter Shield?
I gotta say MLS Cup.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I'm surprised at that answer.
My head tells me Supporter Shield, but my heart says I'd prefer to win the MLS Cup.
I suppose the MLS Cup winner is probably remembered more than the Supporter Shield.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's dive into the matchup. Let's just start with Real Salt Lake and Seattle. The one I think we know this matchup the best. RSL, annoying. Very annoying team. Rio Tinto, full of just... I think they're just annoying people. I feel Seattle... I have a lot of respect for Seattle fans to sell out, you know, 65,000 against Portland a couple weeks ago. Although I heard they're not opening up the whole stadium for Friday.
Yeah, it's always been tough, I think, on such short-term notice to sell tickets.
I mean, that's true.
They only go on sale, what is it, the beginning of this week they went on sale to the general public.
So they had four days to sell everything.
It's a Friday game. I really don't know how many people are going to be there, but I think that always throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into things because you don't know what day the playoffs are actually going to start. And it's funny because we've known we're going to be in the playoffs for how long now.
Yeah.
We've had no clue what day the game was going to be.
I've heard that with the Seahawks game this weekend, they had to switch it and they had to move it to Friday.
Correct. They had the option of either playing on Friday, at which point they will have some of Seahawks logos, end zone stuff on the field. No actual field lines. But the other option was to play on Monday, but...
That's pretty late.
Well, yeah, and the team decided that they'd prefer to have more rest in between, and so they'll just deal with having stuff on the field, so...
What's it going to take for RSL to come in and even though Seattle is the 3 seed, to upset Seattle at the Clink, at CenturyLink?
Knowing how Real Salt Lake's been playing lately, they've been very good defensively, and so I think what they'll be doing is trying to play for a goalless draw, and maybe trying to catch something on the break.
From what I've heard, I think I looked this up, and I'll have to look it up again. They've had one goal in the last month, but their defense has kept them in games, and they've been getting points.
Amazing, yeah. I mean, it seems like their last three games have been 0-0 draws.
I believe so.
Crazy. So
I know that was last week against Vancouver.
Yeah, their defense and against Seattle as well, although Seattle was playing down a man for most of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So their defense is very good, and both of their strikers are very good. The problem is both of their strikers are on cold streaks right now. But Real Salt Lake has been so good for so long that I fear that they'll come to Seattle and shut everything down, really slow things down. Seattle will get frustrated, Freddie Montero will get frustrated. And then I can see Real Salt Lake just snagging a goal late or something, and then it's just going to be a battle back when you go back to Salt Lake.
So I have two observations a little bit from the outside. The first being I see Seattle getting the home game first as a big advantage because this was the first round matchup a year ago. RSL had the opening game, and they won 3-0. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you and I were watching that, and with a bunch of Sounders fans... And it was a crazy thing because no one felt the Sounders were out of it. And yet they were down 3 goals on the road.
Well, I remember watching that. And at 2 goals down, I had zero fear that we'd be able to come back. And then they finally put in that third goal. And I was just like, what are we doing? Like, just get out of this game at 2-0. You know you've been beaten and just get home.
And Seattle was able to go
home.
And
then they gave up that third goal and everyone's heart sank. And we thought... Wow, we have to score 4 goals to advance, or we have to do something crazy and try and get to a penalty kick shootout, and that is a lot to
and
ask.
Seattle did make a run of Casey Keller's last game. Did I just mess up the name?
No, Casey Keller.
And you guys went up 2-0.
Yep, and then Freddie hit the crossbar, and...
It's keeping you up at night. I didn't mean to do this. What I'm saying today, for Friday, for that game for the Sounders, I think they need to win... 2-0, 3-0.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier today, and 2-0 I would feel comfortable with. 1-0 I think would be good as well, but I think a 0-0 draw would be really tough to turn around. The one thing that will really change this matchup is whether Eddie Johnson is healthy or not. They're kind of avoiding the question. They say he probably won't be, and then he'll be ready for the return leg in Real Salt Lake, but his speed really opens up that defense. Mm-hmm. His diagonal runs... really pull the defenders out of place and just give Freddie Montero all this space to operate in. And I think without EJ speed, they're really going to suffer. I'm not sure if they're going to play Estrada in his place to try and replace his speed with someone else who has speed.
Versus Ochoa.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid that they're going to go with Ochoa, and I just don't think they're going to get any goals with that lineup. So it will be really interesting. But I would love for them to take... a lead here, and then when they go to Real Salt Lake, they're so much better on the counter this year, which is why I think they really have a chance to go far in this.
I think Tiffert's a big playoffs. Reason for
Tiffert
that.
Tiffert just spewing balls all over the place, and now that they don't have Fernandez, I think they can really break faster, and they're a little bit better on defense. So I really think that will play to their advantage here in the playoffs, which they didn't have last year, and they've never really had.
And I think last year Mara Rosales was injured for the playoffs.
Yep.
Did he play at all?
He was limited. Yeah, he was.
And I think having him this year is a huge deal, but losing Eddie Johnson might have the same effect. I think the Sounders need to get out with a 2-0 or 3-0 win on Friday to make the game at Rio. My respect for Rio Tinto has a lot to do with my hatred for Rio Tinto, and they do really well there at home. And that's what I'm kind of thinking the Sounders need to do to have a good chance in the second leg.
Yeah, so my thought is if they start Estrada, they win 1-0, and then anything can happen in the second leg. I think Real Salt Lake, if we hold them out in the first half of that second leg, then they can nail them on the counter and win 2-0 overall. That's my prediction.
We both respect Case Keller, but I think Spurning is top-notch, one of the best goalkeepers the MLS has seen.
Lowest goals allowed this year in the MLS. Although he missed quite a few games, but his average is better than any other goalkeeper. So
he's a big dude.
He is. He's really, really big.
He makes Ricketts look like a normal person, and that's pretty weird. All right, let's move on to the other 2-3 matchup on the East. DC United is playing against New York, and now this was switched last second because of Hurricane Sandy.
Yep.
New York and DC are now switching who has the home and who has the away legs first. So this game will be played in Washington, and New York will be the away team, and then they will switch to New York later.
Correct.
Even though the seeds are... maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
New York's the third seed, so they would have had the... Originally, they would have the first
That's
game
correct. Yeah. So this gives New York a little bit more of the advantage, if you think the second leg is the advantage. And New York, Thierry Henry coming on at a good time. And Kenny Cooper's been playing well of late. He had a great start to the season. Had a little bit of a pause in the middle where he stopped scoring goals. Doesn't mean he wasn't playing well. And now they seem to be kind of hitting their stride. Do you have any inkling of, like, do you have a feeling? What do you got on this
one? It's weird because I think New York has a more talented team, but I think that their coach is insane, and I think Ben Olsen is a great coach at DC United. Also the coach who coached the MLS All-Stars, a really good young coach coming up. So it's one of these things where do I trust in New York's talent? Do I think that Henry's going to take this game over and Dax McCarty's going to boss the midfield and Kenny Cooper is just going to pour in these goals? Mm-hmm. Or do I think that DC United's going to play a better team game and Bill Hamid's going to play really well? And,
where are you going, Stugatz? Come on, where
Chris,
are you going?
Chris Pontius is a great player, so I really don't know where this one's going to go.
Okay.
So in the end, I think I got to go with DC United because it always seems like these are the type of teams that win in the playoffs.
No one really wants to, you know, give this as a reason, but I'm going to say DC United wins, and I think they win this these two legs handily. I think they win each game. A hurricane is not a small thing. People live in New York. These players all live there. They live, from what I've heard, they all live in an area that got hit pretty good outside of town, and that's quite a distraction. That's not something to be taken lightly, and I would be shocked if they were able to play with, you know, full heads. And that's nothing on them. It's just, if I had to pick, I'm picking DC United.
Fair enough.
Let's move on to the other Eastern Conference matchup. Last night, Houston beat Chicago. They're going and they're hosting the Sporting Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Sporting KC. Well, I don't know what they are. Are they Tigers or something like that?
Sporting.
They're just Sporting?
Very
okay.
Sporting.
Well, that's great. Sporting Kansas City.
They're living strong, actually.
The number one seed in the East, and they were the number one seed for a reason. Looked great all year. Didn't lose a game. You know, just like the Sounders, went on a great run to start the year.
Yeah.
And they just kept the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's annoying. Houston plays well in the playoffs, like you said. What will it take for Houston to make an effort in the first and second leg?
Yeah, Houston, it's so weird because every year it's like Houston is not very good.
And then they're in the MLS Cup.
Yeah, and then you're watching them in the MLS Cup and you're thinking, this team isn't as good as everybody else, this team isn't as good, and then they score off a set piece or Brad Davis just crosses a ridiculous ball and they get a goal and they win 1-0. It's just same story every year, and but you're right, KC is easily the best team in the East, and they've been the best team throughout the year.
And Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated, just been Jimmy Nielsen, the goalkeeper for Sporting Kansas City, he has been just praising him endlessly throughout the year. And I think the reason Houston beat Chicago last night, Chicago's keeper gave them reasons to be confident. He was dropping some balls.
Johnson was letting some balls.
He was just knocking them away instead of grabbing them. And Houston, you could see they were like, oh, we got this. I don't think Jimmy Nielsen's going to give him any of that.
No, and we saw Graham Zuzi play really well for the U.S. men's national
team.
Wasn't he fun?
Because that game was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And he, just
great
an MLS
story.
Player doing well.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice.
And he's been amazing in the MLS.
And EJ played well in that game, too.
He did. A lot of good guys that we haven't seen for a while. In EJ and a new guy in Zuzi that are coming up through the ranks of the MLS, which is really exciting to see and something to watch in the playoffs as well.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think Kansas City should take this game, but it seems like every year I would have said this before, and Houston will keep on rolling. So
Yeah, there was the manager for Kansas City. I'm forgetting his name. I'm not quick with names yet. I'll look it up later. He said that last year, Sporting Kansas City, it was kind of hard for some of their players to really adopt this playoff mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That only takes a year to figure out. You know, I think that's an excuse for 1 year. The next year, it's not an excuse anymore.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to bring it. Last one in the West, we actually don't know at this time of this recording who will be playing, who San Jose will be going to, either Vancouver or Los Angeles. I think we safely assumed Los Angeles would be the victor. I don't really want to get into this too much. We're just going to take a minute. And who would have a better chance? I don't even know. Do you want to do this? The game's not over yet.
Let's hold off. San Jose is going to win. Whoever they play, they'll win.
Do you? I think so, too. I think San Jose, with the way that they came back late in games, the way they just had a lot of late-game equalizers and winners, I think they had that playoff mentality all year.
Now, I've heard this used as a negative, too, though, in that they've been in games and waited too long to win them, that eventually it's just their luck's going to run out. Do you think, like, is this a factor? Like, oh, they've left too many games late. Eventually, in the playoffs, they're not going to be able to come from behind because these teams are too good.
Are they like last year's annoying St. Louis Cardinals team that just kept doing it? Or are they, yeah, that makes sense. The law of averages is going to catch up with them.
The question is, which cliche is going to hold true in this case?
oh, my goodness. And, you know, there is the theory that Landon Donovan is just making, you know, sure Vancouver wins this game so he can take a breather or take a nap.
He wants to lay in the sun. He's got his dogs.
He just wants to hang out, you know? Yep. He wants to make some commercials with little kids and just have a good time. That sounded weird. I'm going to cut that out. we're going to end this right now. MLS Cup is it's exciting. I think you and I are going to hopefully do this again before the Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals, maybe just before the MLS Cup. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots.
Yes.
They were in London on... last weekend for Sunday's game, they beat the St. Louis Rams 45-7. And he said that London was ready for a football team. They're ready for an NFL team, which would just be so taxing on the NFL. But it made me wonder if the EPL, would they ever consider having a team farther away? I'm not saying America, but like if they had a team in America, like the popularity would be insane.
No.
Just never? No, the answer is no?
No. I mean, each country has their own league. It would just be asinine for them to think about taking a team from another country's league and
the
putting them in a different country.
I agree with you completely. But sometimes money, it speaks louder than any words.
If money's going to talk, what's going to happen, and this actually could happen, they're just going to form a super European league. And what it will be is some sort of relegation promotion system.
Yeah.
And it'll be like the Europa League type teams will be in a second division. And the Champions League type teams will be in the top division. Hmm. There's going to be like five clubs from England.
And it would
England.
Take away from the Champions
yeah,
League?
Yeah, five clubs from England. They could also keep playing the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be like five clubs from England, you know, top three or four from Germany, top three or four from Italy, top three or four from Spain. You throw in a couple of Portuguese teams, maybe a Dutch team every once in a while, depending on how they're playing,
mm-hmm.
a couple French teams. And it's just going to be like the top 20. I would assume they'd keep a 20-team league, but... The amount of money that they would generate when they realized, oh, if we just break this down and pull all the biggest names into one league would just be ridiculous.
Do you think there'd ever be any chance of a team from our part of the world being involved in that?
Probably not within the next 10, 20 years.
Well, I don't think the quality is there for the next 20 years.
No,
10,
but I could
years.
See
but
something, maybe in 20 years you see something with South America and Central America joining together.
Hmm.
Say maybe a few Mexican teams, and there's plenty of good Brazilian teams with great young talent.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, that is a possibility, but I don't think anything with Europe anytime soon. It's just the travel's too difficult. So I don't think that'll happen. I don't know if we'll ever see that.
I do want to say the MLS is getting better and getting easier to watch every year. And which is exciting for us. It's exciting for American soccer, but
it's what we have, and so I think we just need to support it because
absolutely
we're not going to be as good as some of these European teams. We're not going to be as good as some of these South American teams, but it's what we have, and it's what we have, which will keep growing the game, and it's going to make our national team better, and it's something for us to watch. So I'm proud of what we have here. It's really exciting.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. You can read more from Jeff Budke at NorthwestSportsBeat.com or follow on Twitter at Jeff Budke.
That's not the right name. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me, Ben.
How's everybody doing?
Go ahead and...
Stellar. Good. Sounders are going to lose to Real Salt Lake. I'm going to cry.
No.
I'm going to be drunk on Saturday all day.